Fresh Takes. Welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash, Kushin, Pikachu, we don't evolve, we just level up. Here with Meme, talking Daredevil, Born Again, Episode 8, I don't remember the title. Nope, that is the title.
Oh, I don't remember the title.
I'm just kidding, it's Isle of Joy, I just looked it up.
Okay, that would have been good though.
That would have been. I don't know the title. Oh, well, let's look it up. Like, no, that is the title. I don't know the title. Anyway, Daredevil, Born Again, Episode 8. I feel like we called this a little bit.
Yeah, I think so.
At least the Bullseye coming back.
Hmm.
And I think it's interesting because it's like, I don't know if there was any other option that was like a good option that made sense.
Yeah, I think we kind of discussed the options, and he was really the only one that could be, like, in a dynamic fight. I mean, aside from Kingpin, but doesn't quite seem like that's going to come to a head yet, and I kind of hope it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it, like, if anything, it's briefly. We'll see. We'll talk about Episode 9 when we, you know, get to Episode 9.
Right.
All right, I do want to talk about one thing. I don't typically watch reviews before we do our review. I don't like to take, more or less, I don't like copying other people's opinions and then throwing it back at you guys. I did watch a couple, and I didn't watch all the way through because like after like a minute or two, I was like, eh, wait, I don't want this person's opinion. I want to make my own. But I was watching Cosmic Wonder, and I don't know if you watch Cosmic Wonder at all on YouTube. He reviews a lot of Marvel stuff. He reviews other things, too. He's kind of a... I feel like Marvel stan is, like, the wrong word, but he's very much, like, a Marvel guy. He defends Marvel often, but he does criticize them, too.
Okay.
But he made a statement about Daredevil Born Again that I thought was really, really interesting. And it talks about how the creative team for the show, there was two different creative teams. How there was the original creative team and Disney and Kevin Feige and, you know, all the heads kind of, they didn't really care for the original creative team. Maybe not as like people, but just from the product of the show, they didn't really like what they were going to see. And so it was reported that the people who wrote majority of episodes 3 through 7, or was it, it might've been 2 for 7. Was the original creative team. Like, a lot of it was redone, a lot of it was reworked and reshot, but like most of that setup was already done before they moved over. Okay. And I wasn't aware of this beforehand, and I'm not sure, like, I didn't check if it was like how accurate it was. I do trust Cosmic Wonder for the most part because they're pretty, they're pretty respectable. Like, Marvel respects these, this person. Like, he gets invites to all of their premieres. Kind of a Marvel stan. But the interesting part was, like, the new creative team that's taken over wrote episode 1, episode 8, and episode 9. And that is all 100% original. And what I think is interesting, because this episode, and we're going to go to the general thoughts and go through what happened. I think this episode was a lot better than everything else that came before it, maybe except for episode 1.
Yep. I kind of had that same opinion.
I mean, like, episode 5, the bank heist was fine. It was fun, but it wasn't amazing. Whereas this, like, this one, I can't, and we're not going to get into the ratings too far, but I think it gives me some hope for this show. Because I think our biggest complaint, my, like, most common complaint from each episode is the writing is lacking. It's lacking a lot. And I don't know if, like, the episode we just watched is a lot better, but I would say, like, it seems like everything that was put in front of us is starting to come together in a way that is actually very satisfying. In a way, like, I'm pretty satisfied by what we watched, and my I got some questions segment actually has some pretty good questions that, like, I don't feel like we're going through the motions for. Like, I actually am very generally interested at some of the reveals that this episode had. So if like we hear that like the show was a masterpiece, we heard like I seen that article and they mostly were talking about episode 9 being the reason why, the finale. And I keep hearing that the finale is amazing. And after watching this episode, I will say I do have a lot of hope for episode 9 now. Like I'm genuinely excited. My hope
definitely went up. I'm not quite like 100% all in yet, and I think that's probably just because I've been burned in the past, but at the same time, I am the most excited to see the next episode of Daredevil as I have been for the whole season.
And I just realized too, the bullseye aspect of the show was always episode 1, episode 8, episode 9, which I'm like, okay. Our current creative team, they're the reason why Bullseye is even a part of this to begin with, which is probably like the rework, is they reworked all the Netflix stuff into the show. All right, so let's get into what happened. And quite a bit happened. I have a decent amount of plot points. I didn't put this in number 16. I have 16 plot points, which is a decent amount. The show usually doesn't have that much. It's very shallow.
Definitely. Yeah.
All right, so what happened? Bullseye, we haven't seen him since episode 1, is moved to Gen Pop on the orders of Wilson Fisk. Fisk reveals to Vanessa that he's been keeping Adam in prison. Vanessa, in a very dramatic way, in a very slow dramatic way, shoots him dead. Donald Blake, is now deputy mayor of communications, even though the assistant to the mayor is very much like, this guy's over his head. No, he's like brand new. But loyalty, man. Loyalty goes far. Especially
Sucker old Fisk.
Yeah, very Donald Trump-like. I'm just, it's very, you know. But good for Tony Soprano Jr. His loyalty, man. Heather and Matt continue to fight about how Matt has been aloof for the last how many weeks. Heather talks about how Muse and Daredevil are all the same, that she saved herself by shooting Muse. And then Heather is then invited to the ball, the black and white ball, by Fisk, which Matt then finds out Fisk is her client. Those two kind of argue back and forth. Matt's very much like, stay away from Fisk, he's out to get me, which, very, like, Matt, like, explain that to us, please. Yeah. What do you mean he's out to get you? Their relationship is very much strained. Somehow, some way, Matt just randomly goes to Josie Bar, gets invited in, and finds out that Foggy was celebrating the night he died and realized that someone must have ordered his murder somehow. I watched this episode twice, and I still don't know how that connection was made. We will talk about it.
Okay.
Matt then goes to Bullseye, who sent him an invitation to go there. Bullseye asks Matt to defend him and get him out of Gen Pop. Matt then injured Bullseye because, you know, fuck you.
Yeah, angry Matt.
Very arrogant Matt. Bullseye then escapes with a broken tooth and has a... I don't even know how to describe it. Like, he's a very good spitter. Yeah. Very powerful.
Right in the guy's eye, yeah.
There must be a superpower of his. Super spitting.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, even if he didn't, like, kill him with the tooth into the eye, I mean, if he got him good enough, it's enough to disable somebody long enough to free yourself and then kill him.
That's fair. I'm just saying the power of, like, that spit is just, like, super spitter, I guess.
Behind it, yeah.
He was like close. He was like at 3 feet range. I'm just like, I don't understand the physics of like how force. Like, someone needs to make a YouTube video on this. Someone who's actually good at physics, not me, for sure. Someone needs to like calculate the amount of force you would need to like spit out a tooth to go through someone's eye and kill him. Because like blood was going out the back of his head. It went through his fucking skull. Like, how much of a fucking force would you need with your lips to spit a tooth with that velocity at
through somebody's skull.
At 3 feet, at a 3 foot range.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I didn't notice the blood coming out of the back of his head.
Someone do the calculations, please. I want to know this. And no, I'm not doing it myself because I did not do well in physics. I had people to do my homework. I was the one they didn't want as a lab partner. I was very friendly, but I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I blame my ADHD and the teacher who really went at a really fast pace, and I was too not able to focus long enough to really understand the math. Anyway, that's a rant. At the black and white ball, Fisk blackmails Swordsman to, you know, help with his port project. That's another question I need to ask. BB and Blake are back on good terms after a small talk. BB talks to Gallo, asks him to help take Fisk down, reveals that she has other names that she writes down, reveals that she knows about Fisk killing her uncle, and reveals that, indirectly reveals, she's playing everybody. She's playing the party girl role to get close to Fisk. Murdoch somehow deduces that Vanessa killed Foggy. Matt then confronts Vanessa, who more or less kind of confirms it, but not directly confirms it. Fisk then talks to Heather, because they switch dance partners during a dance, and drops hints at Matt's vigilante ties. Bullseye is then prepared to kill Fisk. Matt hears the ch-ch-ch sound, and Matt jumps in to take a bullet for Wilson Fisk. Matt is now critically wounded, where the screen then flips to him being on the other side of the floor, which I should have added a question there too. Anyway, that is what happened.
It's a good episode.
It was a pretty good freaking episode. I can't say it fucking good because it's not that good. It's freaking good. Wow, there's like levels to that. Was it fucking good? No, it was freaking good.
Yep.
Like, it's next step, but not quite at the level of fuck. Okay.
Yeah.
Any thoughts? That is the episode.
I mean, I definitely have thoughts on the episode. First thing I'd like to say is just shout out to Charlie Cox once again. He's crushing it as Matt Murdock. I really love this, like, more arrogant, angry side of him.
I hate Matt in this show, but like, I do really like Charlie Cox. He does play a really good, arrogant Matt. It's not that I don't mind characters being written in an arrogant way. I think it's an interesting take on the character, but he is like hard to like sometimes. As a character.
Yeah, I agree with that. I like, just like when he was at Josie's bar and he leaves and she's like, he didn't take his cane, or he didn't take out his cane. Just like showing that he's like kind of going off the deep end to where like he's losing the difference between himself and Daredevil. And
a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is, do we want to talk further or should we just get into, I got some questions and then like talk about it as a whole?
Yeah. I feel like maybe do the questions, cause some of your questions might be about some of the things that I want to talk about already.
Yeah. And if I don't, please throw out questions at me or we'll just talk about it. Okay. I got some questions. How evil is Vanessa and what is her grand scheme of things? Cause she is definitely a player. Like, we knew she was a player. We knew that there was something going on. We talked about it last episode, but she's a fucking player. We did not I didn't expect her to be behind Foggy Nelson. I'm not surprised by it though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Definitely showing how far she's come from just being an art dealer to now literally murdering an ex-lover in cold blood as he begs for his life.
I wish we would have seen more of Vanessa.
More of like that side. I think it should have been more interesting if we would have got more of that. Because like for the first half of the season or whatever, most of the season, we just keep hearing about how she was such a good boss and all that stuff, but we're never shown anything
Yeah, not a tell, no show.
Not any really shown anything to like explain that or to show that case.
There was a lot of that this season. A lot of like show, not tell. Like, you know how last.
Tell, not
I
show.
th yes, sorry. Dyslexia goes hard
It's
sometimes,
okay.
especially when it comes to speech. But like last episode, we talked about this, how like Kristen was like, Matt, you're doing this and this and this and this and this, and you're being such a bad like partner. And it's like, we didn't see any of it. And so it just comes off as like empty towards us, which is, it's okay every once in a while, but it seems like there's just a lot of like we're told of Vanessa, we're told of like Fisk doing other things. Like, we're told a lot of things. We don't actually like see it.
Randomly kind of told about Heather's weird obsession with vigilantes.
Yeah. It's like, why don't we just see her like wanting to be like we should be able to see those type of things, not talk about it. And that's like the complaints of the last old creative team. They sucked at writing. I'm just gonna flat out say it. They weren't great at it. It was definitely no Netflix Daredevil. And I kind of think of like, what would the Netflix Daredevil show do with Vanessa if they did this plot point? And I'm like, we would at least get a full episode dedicated to Vanessa being the bad guy and seeing that. We would have been shown how she is at. Maybe in like a more boring sense, because I think
Maybe
the
even just
show.
like some flashbacks of, like her running things and making some of those more brutal decisions or whatever. I mean, even that would have gone a long way to like flesh her out as a character instead
And
of
just like,
just being Fisk's wife.
and like seeing maybe like a background episode of like why she even decided to become Fisk wife. What attracted her to this type of lifestyle? Because she joined in, she knew what she was getting herself into. And then I think
Fully committed.
the Netflix show didn't like dive too much into her specifically. It was always about Wilson Fisk, which fine, he's the villain, he's the second biggest character of that show. But I think this show, if you're gonna put Vanessa in that like player spot, we need some Vanessa background episodes. We need some flashback. We need that show. Don't tell us. Give me that
Although,
show.
yeah, the little times that we got with her interacting with like the other crime guys was not enough to really. And we also didn't really get any answer about that or texting dude Fisk's address. That wasn't addressed at all. So I wonder if that'll come back or if that's just like a thing that never gets touched on again. She tried, failed, and moved on.
Yeah, or like, was that just always part of the plan and him
Right,
of
that too.
it? And so it's like we never got confirmation, which I guess maybe that's just something that's dropped between creative teams, which seems weird. I think so. To answer the question, how evil she is, it's hard to say. I don't. It seems like she's kind of on that Fisk level now. I mean, she ordered Foggy's death, an innocent man. She cold-heartedly killed Adam. He's begging for his life. She's like the one who probably could have got him released. Fucking just killed. So pretty fucking evil, but we don't know like how evil. What
Or
is her
what she's
grand?
capable of, like,
Yeah.
aside from that.
And what is she in the grand scheme of things? What is her grand scheme? Is she all about like that control like Wilson Fisk is? Is she planning something more? Is she trying to out Fisk? Is there resentment there? Like, it's hard to say. So, I don't know. Do you have anything more to say on this question?
We'll see what next week's episode brings to get more information.
You could say that about every of these.
Well,
That
not
pop
after
out.
this, I guess. Maybe next season, but I'm hoping we get some resolution this
You would
season.
help. Right. How did anyone think moving Bullseye to Gen Pop is a good idea?
Yeah, that's a good question. People just don't ask questions, I guess, when Fisk tells them what to do.
Like even Wilson, I'm just like, what is your plan here? This dude, like, you don't want him anywhere near people because if he gets loose, he can massacre everybody.
Well, I think the idea was that he was going to get killed before he got loose. Because, like, when even when they left him in Gen Pop or whatever, he still had his arms like tied and couldn't use anything. So, like, the hope was that they would just kill him right away and that'd be the
But
end of it.
he has like superpowers now.
But he's still all tied up and stuff, telling me that they couldn't kill him.
Yeah, but he gets like one hand gets free. It's I wouldn't say game over, but it's just I don't know.
Yeah.
It just seemed like a bad idea. Like
Yeah.
we're gonna just move this dangerous guy into a Gen Pop prison and just hope it goes well. Like the dude could just grab something with his teeth and just go kill somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. But to be fair, it's not like the people in that prison are just a bunch of harmless people necessarily.
The dude spit a tooth into somebody's eye and it came out of his skull.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I'm not saying they knew that he could do that, but god damn it, why would you put him in Gen Pop to even risk it? Like, the dude just goes, like, how is he going to drink or eat anything? Through a straw? He's going to spit that straw through your fucking eye.
Yeah, well, maybe that was their only way to try to get rid of him. Like leaving him in solitary confinement, though, like eventually, he's gonna talk or do something.
But like, I feel like there'd be just a lot smarter plan, you know? Like, hey, let's like have him break free, have this like plan of, oh, he thinks he's escaping, and then someone somehow, some way shoots him.
That sounds way riskier than just putting him into Gen Pop.
But like, what I'm saying is like, if he's like, if you put him one on one, or not one on one, but like by himself in a cons like in a cell. And you put him in an environment that you can control and tame, but you make it seem like he's in control, and you just find a spot, get him to a spot that you know he's going to go to, and you just have people there to shoot him from a distance. Like, you can be like, you can always just frame the story of, oh, he was trying to escape. We had to shoot him. He's too dangerous to let out. None
Yeah,
of
what
this,
if he's
like, we're
smarter than
just going
that?
to, huh?
What if he's smarter than that?
It's fucking Fisk. He's supposed to be brilliant at this.
Yeah. It was a
Like
bullseye.
he has
They
everyone in
both
this.
they have equal levels of plot armor, Jake.
I didn't get that from my D&D character, man. For those who are like, why are you talking about D my D&D character died this week? He was based off Luffy. He did not have plot armor. He went through a door and he fucking got murdered. I'm grieving. It's my first character death.
You'll
Like,
be okay.
my Luffy inspiration is dead. And
There could
so is
always
my
be more.
childhood, because that's basically what I based it off of. Anyway, moving on. Not D&D. That would be a good like D&D therapy session where you just talk like a grieving D&D session.
Just grieve about your dead D&D characters.
Like it could literally be a circle with where you like pass the talking pillow and like my character died by doing stupid things. Oh, that'd be even good. Like the characters who died from doing stupid things. Anyway, we're getting way off task. But yeah, I don't know. Like that was just like when I saw that, like the first like scene, we're like, oh, we're putting him in Gen Pop. I'm like, that's fucking stupid. He's escaping somehow. Like one
Yeah.
is like we already like I think most people would realize, okay, he's important to the story. He's escaping. But I don't know. It's just we get really good, smart Fisk from the Netflix show. We get to see how well he's just working the system. And then this move just makes me question if he's intelligent.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say that he did the same thing with Punisher, but that also didn't work out for him, so he also escaped. But there's probably a bunch of people that it did work out for him just fine, that were supposed to be under protection or something, and then just put him in a Gen Pop and have his guys take care of him.
I'm just saying they should have at least like put like something in his mouth because like he's a super spitter.
Right.
Are we enjoying the Matt and Heather relationship?
I mean, it got more interesting now
A little bit.
because of the dynamic,
But I'm also just.
especially if she stays hard and true to her like anti-vigilante stance and doesn't just like fold when she finds out that he's Daredevil.
I like this episode, but I'm also just fucking sick of it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this episode was written a lot better, and their like arguing back and forth was like a little bit more interesting. I just personally, I'm just kind of sick of the whole like I hate. It's a trope of superheroes, and I wouldn't say I hate it. It's kind of a staple, but the whole idea of like, you know, a superhero dates girlfriend, he starts doing superhero shit, he gets aloof, girlfriend is just, bitching about him being aloof. And the whole time, it's like, dude, just fucking tell her. Just fucking tell her that you're Daredevil. Just tell her. And it's just, at this point, I'm like more annoyed by these type of things. I do think the dynamic would have been a lot more interesting. I think it could have been a really good dynamic when we talked about this. But at this point, I'm like, it's just, there wasn't enough middle work for this potential breakup to be satisfying.
That's fair.
Also, I'm pretty sure she's dying next episode, but shh. Donald Blake, Tony Soprano Jr. Is there a bigger story for him, or is he just a dude?
Well, his story might conclude when BB's story concludes, or at
Yeah.
least when she wraps hers up. I could see that being kind of like his exit.
And probably
Or,
season two.
yeah, or I could see him being like more of a right-hand man, especially as long as Fisk is mayor, just kind of rising up the ranks there.
Is who's more doomed? Or like, hold on. Donald Blake or BB? Is one of them doomed? Does it feel like one of them has to doom the other? Like, it seems like
I
this is
mean,
where that story's going.
they're definitely on opposite sides, and only one of them can really win. I mean, if she takes down Fisk like she wants to, then he goes down with them, presumably.
Yeah, that's. I'm just like, what's. There's two stories is like going to somewhere, and I'm like, it just feels like one of them is doomed.
Yeah, I can't imagine that they'd kill BB again, though, or after. Like talk about retreading the same storylines. If I
Donald
guess
Blake
maybe,
chokes her.
yeah, I mean, maybe I guess that could be kind of interesting,
If
just
it
like
wrong.
showing how far he is willing to go for Fisk if he like kills his old best friend or whatever.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I feel like they'd be doing the character pretty dirty.
What if BB chokes out Donald Blake? Or
That
B
could be
like
interesting, like the reverse, like kind of situation
Yeah.
where she's forced to have to kill him instead.
I feel like that's where it's gonna go, and I feel like she's gonna be the bigger character, but I'm like, it just seems like one of those two are doomed. Not that I
Yeah.
want that, it just seems like it's inevitably gonna happen, whether it's next episode or sometime in season two.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right. Should Matt have a issue with Heather being Fisk's client? Or no. All
But
right.
the other way around,
Yeah,
with
this
Fisk being
sucks.
Heather's client.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that, yeah, I feel like he personally probably would feel some ways about that, but I don't think just outright like telling her that it's bad is not going to accomplish anything.
No,
Like, not without actually explaining their past.
I'm
And
Daredevil. Don't do this.
yeah, and there's a chance too that, I mean, it could just be a big coincidence, that Fisk picked her because they were just kind of dating. It's not like, but then again, Fisk is really smart, So I could see it going either way, that he knew or that he didn't know, and it's just like another way that their lives crossed and another thing in his life that may or that he can blame Fisk on, I guess, for losing.
Netflix Fisk would definitely like they like Heather would definitely be a mole if that's the case. But I don't know. MCU Fisk, he did let Bullseye in the gem pop. I'm not gonna let that down. It's such a dumb decision. I'm sorry. I
But
just
was it even him or was it Vanessa?
I thought it was Fisk who ordered it.
I think that's what he heard, but I don't know if that was like
Well.
confirmed or not. I guess maybe he's trying to cover up for
I think you're just scapegoating Vanessa.
her. Continue.
Right. I don't know. This is an interesting where I'm like, Matt, this is where Matt's being arrogant. This is arrogant Matt's. He's just raging over the fact that, like, oh, he's coming to get me. Don't be the, he can't be your client. But I'm like, I don't know. Like, if you can get that trust where, like, she kind of, like, confides in him a little bit. And I'm not saying as a therapist, this is what you should do with your spouse. But there's always that, like, hey, vaguely, this is what this client's going through. Not saying I do this personally. But, like, I can see that in a relationship where like Matt could probably have worked his way to figure out more about Fisk, especially on a fundamental like level, like a psychological fundamental level from her explanation of it. I'm like, I don't know if you should have an issue with it. I'm like, this is like a weird chance for you to get really into the head of your enemy. And you just yelled at her, and that is now closed. But Arrogant Matt, I do like. I don't like Arrogant Matt, but I do enjoy watching Arrogant
Yeah,
Matt.
I know what you mean.
Okay. Also, should Matt just out that he's Daredevil to people?
I mean, I feel like he's getting closer to that point.
He really.
But then,
All of his arguments is just like, dude, just tell. Just tell people.
yeah, he's no Tony Stark though. He doesn't have that level of security and money to be able to out himself and still operate as Daredevil.
Yeah, I'm not saying publicly, but I just feel like it'd
Yeah.
be a lot easier. Like, it would explain him so much more. Like, I'm not like Kristen McDuffie. Hey, I'm Daredevil on the side. I'm trying to work the system both ways.
But to be fair, the reaction that he got from Foggy and stuff like that when he first told them did not go very well.
He also
Blew up their
withheld it.
firm. Yeah, but still,
He
even
withheld it. That was like the
yeah, but
biggest
then
issue.
no, he didn't want him to do it
Yeah.
at all. No, Foggy didn't want him to do it at all.
True, true. But
He
like,
was against him going out, period, and even
true.
threatened him that he was doing the wrong thing and stuff.
I true, but it's just
Lost
I.
their firm because of it almost.
But like, Foggy's biggest issue with him initially was the fact that like he didn't tell. Him
Yeah.
like he held it secret for like a decade before he even found out that he has these powers. And so I think like if he would have just let him in on like on the ground floor, I think Foggy would have been a lot more into it. So it's just one of those, Matt, just if you just tell people that you're Daredevil, like at least the people closest in your inner circle, your relationships would go a lot better. But again, Arrogant Matt,
Yeah.
do we buy Matt's deductions? Like
How
at
about?
Josie, like Josie's bar with like Foggy celebrating, and that like he probably got killed by Fisk. Like there was an actual reason. Or do we buy that like the hole at the ball? Like, oh, Vanessa was about to sell Fisk something. She killed Foggy.
Yeah. So this is what I think. It's
Okay.
In the original show, they definitely made a point about that old Melvin's booze or whatever, that they only ever drank it when they were celebrating winning. So
Ooh, good point.
I
Good
see
point.
that makes sense, that as soon as why he was so confused why he was drinking it that night, unless so he kind of put that together. And then I don't remember exactly what the case that he was working on that he was talking about in the first episode.
It was to hide somebody.
Or like a witness against something.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe it's a bit of a leap to assume that Kingpin ordered the kill at first or whatever, but at the same time,
Who else
it
would
goes all
do
the
it?
way, yeah, it goes all the way up to the top, right? And who's at the top of all the crime families, And then realizing that he was gone, so that somebody else must have been running the empire, meaning Vanessa. So I think it loosely it does make sense that he was able to come to that conclusion. It might just so happen to be the right conclusion. He might not have had the due diligence to get to that conclusion, but
Yeah.
given his mindset and stuff like that too, like already wanting to blame him for everything, it does make sense, in that sense.
It's just very unlawyer-like of him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was also very unlawyer-like of him to smash Bullseye's head into the table.
He is definitely losing it.
Yeah, I mean, he's the reason why he escaped, right? Because
Yeah, because he smashed his tooth in.
knocked a tooth out.
And somehow someone gave him like a super powerful jaw with his super spitting ability.
Came with a metal spine.
And a metal jaw. I do know that like Matt is like I did laugh at the idea of like Matt being the reason why Bullseye escaped in the first place, just with like because of the tooth. I didn't realize it the first episode. Like, I knew it was like his fault that he got hurt, but then I'm like, oh wait, he escaped because of the tooth. The tooth is because he got his head smashed. I'm like, okay, that's cool writing. But yeah, Matt just being the ultimate, reason why Bullseye
It'd be,
escaped.
I hope he finds out that it was his fault that he
I
escaped.
do too. It's a
Like
good
he
meta.
hears that he like spit a tooth out or whatever, and he kind of puts two and two together and realizes like, yeah, he messed up. He's got to be more careful and more control.
I really like the metaphor that Matt is his own worst enemy. Like, Matt often shoots himself in the foot. It's very Spider-Man like, but I do think Daredevil fits that description of like he kind of his mistakes definitely puts him where he is. Okay. I talked about this briefly. When Heather and Fisk were dancing and they were talking, about, oh, hey, your husband, or not your husband, your boyfriend, he's very overzealous. I don't think that was the phrase, but it works. They were just very close and talking about how he has like vigilante ways. Did you ever get the sense that she is possibly a mole that's working with Fisk? Because their like dynamic was very like friendly and very like
It was a little strange. How, I mean, that whole situation's kind of strange, right? Like
in general,
some
yeah.
random lawyer just comes and steals the mayor's wife away to dance. Like, I mean, yeah.
Also,
So, what?
oh, I just want to bring this up too. Because we were talking about ethics and how like it's probably not okay for Heather to talk to Matt about like Fisk's detail, but there's this weird like you do tell other people vaguely, like you're not supposed to, but there is that like when you're part of that industry, her being at the ball is a huge ethical. You don't fucking do that. Like, from what I know from being in the field of psychology, you don't do that. Like, that is, if someone invites you to a personal gathering, you don't show, you politely decline. She
Yeah, you're supposed to
should
keep
have.
those boundaries.
And that is like a huge boundary that she crossed in this moment.
I think the reason why it was because of the thing with Muse. That was like the reason why she got the pretense behind why she got invited, not because she was his therapist. So that's just kind of a happenstance, but yeah, it still seems kind of wrong.
Yeah, just like from Heather's perspective, Fisk inviting her, perfectly like normal, fine. It happens. Like if she set those boundaries initially, then it's kind of crossing the line, but also she should have said no. So like as someone in the field, that's just ethically you don't do that. Right. Three big questions. Save the biggest ones. Why did Matt save Wilson Fisk?
Because of what Bullseye said.
What did Bullseye say? What am I missing this? What am I
What
missing?
Bullseye, when he was in the jail cell or whatever, he was like begging Matt to help him. He said, "You're not a man, or not a good man. A good man would try to save their enemy's life, their worst enemy's life," like saying that he was his worst enemy. But Fisk is actually his worst enemy, and he did take a bullet for him. That's
Why
why.
though?
Because he wants to be a good man.
Is he a good man for saving Fisk in that moment?
You know what they say? You let only God can judge, right? He's not a killer. He's not a killer.
Way to bring religion
In
into
a Daredevil discussion with
Daredevil.
the Catholic superhero.
Yeah. I just thought it was weird because it's like he just jumps in front of the bullet, and I'm like, and I know he was trying to push him, kind of. It seemed like he was trying to push him. You don't push Wilson Fisk, like that dude's a fucking brick house. But like he kind of more or less just jumped in like in front of it. I'm just like, what? And I know that he's trying to save, and I know he's a superhero. It's like the right thing to do. But Matt's been very arrogant this entire time. And I just, it's
It
just
is
like,
kind of a flip all of a sudden. Yeah.
like you're just gonna save Wilson. Like if you would have just let Bullseye kill Wilson, even if like you didn't know, like he didn't know what was happening. He just heard the gun click. He didn't see Bullseye. He didn't hear Bullseye, at least from like what we notice, right? So yeah, it felt weird, but good on you for bringing back that the line of dialogue that aren't you a good man or don't you stick up and save your closest enemies? Like that was what the writers were intending. So good on you, because I didn't catch that. I was like, why the fuck is he saving him? All right, is Matt any way shape dead?
No, I mean, right. There's a whole other season we know it's coming. I guess maybe like some weird, I don't foresee them like maybe like his heart will stop for a second or something like that or a minute. But I don't foresee like some sort of weird resurrection thing happening.
My whole thing was like, oh, he's fine. But then I saw the flip, right? And with him being hell, we just talked about how Muse was in hell. And he, I'm just saying,
That, I
we
mean,
could get Mephisto next week.
Mephisto.
We're bringing it back, baby.
It could happen. I mean, now that would be something.
I swear to fucking God, if we get Mephisto, I'm gonna fucking freak out.
I mean, that would be a wild like change if all of a sudden we're just like the last episode is just like him hell in order to live.
That'd be fucking dope.
That would be dope and be
Especially if it
quite
was like a superpowered like Muse too.
yeah
And then
yeah
it's oh,
that
ooh.
would be something.
Pitch time.
Okay.
Daredevil dies, goes to hell, fights Muse in hell, and makes a deal with Mephisto to get out. And guess who saves the day on the surface?
Punisher.
Fucking Pun. Would that not make this season a masterpiece?
I mean, if we got like a cut between like Matt in hell, like fighting whatever the hell he's fighting in hell, and or taking like yeah, that would be pretty sick. I don't think that's what we're gonna get. I'm not even sure if Punisher is gonna be in this next episode. I don't
I'm
know
not sure
if I
either.
even want him to be in this next episode at this point. I don't know if I want
I
to just like
do, because, like, why the fuck would you bring him in?
yeah, I do, but like I feel like what are we gonna get like another season two ending scene where he just like shows up out of nowhere and like snipes some people down and gives Matt a wink and leaves and that's all we get. Like yeah, that's kind of what I'm feeling. Like there's just been no build up for his character or what he's doing whatsoever, unfortunately.
Nope, I feel like my episode idea is like the only thing I want. I want
I
him in
mean,
it. I want.
I want him in it and I would it'd be cool to see him fighting Bullseye. It would be kind of weird for him to show up at this gala and stuff because I feel like it's got to be like a continuation of this event, right? Like, there's no way you just like let Bullseye escape and you know, like everyone's fine, and then we cut to later
Does someone
without.
kill Bullseye? Does
I
Matt
mean,
kill Bullseye?
know. Maybe Punisher kills Bullseye, or they don't
Right.
kill him off at all.
I mean, they shouldn't. They really shouldn't. Let's talk episode predictions. Or let's
Already
get into
went.
ratings, NBC, MVV, and then we'll get into the predictions. All right, ratings.
I mean, I think this is a solid like 3+, maybe even a 4-.
It a four.
Okay. That was higher than that was good.
That was a great episode. I thought it was great for what it was working with. Like,
Yeah.
I'm like, it was a solid, great episode. I can't
It
complain.
was a great pre-season finale episode. It built up a
A
decent enough
penultimate.
enough a bit episode.
I think it maybe overall it's like a four minus. But I think like for what it had to do, I think it's a four. Like
That's
with the
fair.
context of like, hey, most of these episodes are completed. This episode is like a re putting everything together. Like this is the first time I've been really interested in like the lore and like the mysteries of this show.
Yeah, that's fair.
So it's a four for me. All right. NVC, most valuable character.
I mean, there's only really like one, right?
The only other one I was even considering was BB, but she had a moment.
Yeah.
It was a moment where I was like, ooh, I like this character. All right. Mm. I'm excited for her. Like, just, she showed, like, she, they showed us who her character was for the first time that whole show.
Mm.
They showed it, not tell us, they showed it. And it was well done. It was a well done scene. I was like, oh, BB, all right.
Yeah, especially, forgot to mention, it was right after his task force, anti-vigilante task force, like stuck that other reporter's arm into the fryer just for being there and taking pictures.
Oh, yeah. So, we didn't even mention that scene.
Yeah, how dangerous it was for her to be there. And the police captain had just seen that, and she still came over and was asking questions and stuff. So, dumb or brave, right?
I guess another question. Does Gallo, I'm assuming he's going to give her like all the shit. Like, I'm assuming Fisk is going to be taken down or be shown as corrupt.
Yeah, but will it matter?
I'm just thinking of politics. Hey, all these negative things about the person in charge. Will it matter?
Probably not.
No, but you know, hey, it makes for great TV.
Yeah.
Makes for shit reality, though.
Yep.
So yeah, MVC, just Daredevil. Yeah, I would like to say BB, but like, she had a moment, so it's hard not to say Daredevil. It is his show.
It definitely has felt much more like a Daredevil focused show than even the Netflix series did, because they followed a lot more side stories and stuff with other characters.
Daredevil and Friends.
Yeah, and this has just been Daredevil on his own.
I like the Daredevil and Friends.
I do miss some of that. Yeah. There was more levity.
Though that being said, of the CW shows, which this show didn't feel like a CW show as much.
No.
But like the CW shows, I will say, I wish there would be more focused on the superhero itself, like a Daredevil focus rather than Daredevil and Friends, like Arrow focus instead of Arrow, Team Flash. It's like, I want like the solid just superhero stories, not the team dynamic. Especially for like heroes who don't normally have a team dynamic,
like Flash
and Arrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then yet they have Batman never having a team. He's like, he is like the ultimate team.
Yeah, he is the team maker.
Batman, he has no sidekicks. I'm like, no, it's Batman and Robin. It's always been Batman and Robin. Who's Daredevil's? Daredevil, he has like a Robin. No, it's not Spider-Man. He has other characters.
Does he have a Robin?
He does. He's just not like as famous. It was in the Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. Like, he had, I forget the vigilante's name, but it was one of the real reveals of the season that one of the characters that Spider-Man worked with was a Daredevil plant.
Okay.
So, I guess spoilers for that show.
Yeah.
Minor spoilers. You're welcome. You should watch that show.
It's on my list.
You won't know it until the very end. You're like, oh, that's the one scene that Jake referenced.
All right, so you're ruining the ending for me, is what you're saying.
It's like a small spoiler you won't even know offhand. MVV, most valuable villain. There's only three choices.
I mean, there's only one choice this week, right?
Bullseye?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, Vanessa is in there.
She finally gets some time.
But she killed a person.
Yeah, but it was just like a person held hostage that Fisk made her kill.
Did Fisk make her, or did she choose to?
Well, it's one of those questions, one of those situations where he might not have made her, but did she really have a choice?
I mean, fair. But I mean, like, it's the most interesting kill, unless Matt dies next week.
Yeah, bullseye. This episode.
I agree. I mean, Fisk is last for me. Vanessa was the only one I like considered. I was like, because like, I think she just had more of the focus of the story, whereas I don't know. I did put bullseye one.
Okay.
I'm just being a devil's advocate.
I mean, maybe next week we'll be saying Vanessa.
Probably not. It's probably Bullseye.
Yeah.
I like Vanessa might be NBC or maybe a candidate for NBC, depending on where her character turns and if they actually give her a focus.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not, though. It's a finale. All right. Predictions for the finale.
So I feel like we already kind of talked about our predictions a little bit.
We did.
But I do. I love that the idea of him going to hell, and that's what I'm going to hold on to, is that he goes to hell. Because, you know, like, and then this is how it plays out, right? Because then Bullseye, he doesn't get away right away because all of the anti-vigilante task force is there. Mm-hmm. So they start going after him. And while they're going after each other, Punisher shows up and starts taking them all out. That is what I hope happens.
I hear the finale is brutal. And, like, Bullseye in an arch or in a, like, was in a sniper nest position just spells a fucking massacre. And I really hope that's something that we get.
It does
spell
a massacre, but it also does sound like kind of a boring massacre. If he's just sitting up there shooting everybody, all these random rich people.
Yeah, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I'd rather see like him and like the task force.
Wait, are you saying this is boring TV, but amazing reality?
No comments.
fair enough. Where are you, Luigi? Anyway,
moving on. What's your prediction?
I already gave. Yeah. Okay, I don't. It's not my serious prediction because, like, I don't think they would go to that level.
The only other thing that could happen, right, is like a time jump where Matt is healed and takes on Bullseye at some other point. Because there's no way he's fighting Bullseye with a hole in his chest like that anytime soon, right?
This is well. I mean, I don't know.
I know they're superheroes, but still. I mean, like, we've seen him pretty beat up before, but, like, that was a
sniper shot. Fisk got shot in the eye and healed like he was Donald Trump. I mean, sorry, I keep making political references.
That's Fisk. I don't think. I would be. That might be pushing my suspension of disbelief a little bit if he just, like, gets up and has a full-on fight with Bullseye after that.
This is my thought process, because Bullseye didn't straight up massacre people. He, like, hesitated, and that's not Bullseye. He would just go, like, that's what I was expecting. So, this is my actual prediction. This is not what I want. This is, like, I want the hell story. I'm stuck on that. Like, that would be fun. Plus, Mephisto. And the plus, Muse is back. Like, that's a fun way to get Muse back and also honor his his even character.
Even if we don't get, like, a full thing, just showing that he's, like, still exists in hell and, like, stuff is going on there, like, to set that up would be cool.
Yeah, just to set up the lore of the world. And even if Mephisto is just, like you get one scene with him and you make it, like, low-key the Kang scene where you just get – and it was it Sacha Baron Cohen was supposed to be Mephisto for the longest time. Like, if you have a scene with him and he's just cooking for a scene and he gets to make a wish that, like, you know, he could change something, or Foggy Nelson comes back, because there is rumors that he's coming back for season two some fucking way. This is how you would fucking do it. You kill him. He goes to hell, right? And then he brings – Foggy brings Foggy back, and then Foggy's the new Daredevil. I'm sorry.
I was with you for the last bit.
I know. But, like, that would be interesting. I do not think they're going that direction. I don't think they're going
that direction.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what, like, I don't know what this creative team can do. I don't know. So,
but I guess I'm thinking of, like, the MCU as a whole. I don't know if they'd be brave enough to take it in such, like, a different direction, especially, like, over the Netflix series. Like, it would make it its own by, like, actually going to a different realm and, like, showing this existence and stuff like that. I think it would, it's almost too cool to happen in this show.
Yeah, well, it's the pros of it, right? Like, if I was a writer pitching this, this is what it'd be like. One, we get the Muse in the comic book storyline. Two, we get the metaphor of Matt going to hell. He's Daredevil, right? He's a Catholic man calling himself Daredevil. He dies. He was trying to be good. He's trying to be arrogant, and it failed him. We also sideline him. He has to go away. And who steps in? Punisher. We already interested. Yep. We already showed. And now it's a bullseye, you know, Punisher kingpin situation, which is fresh. It's new. And Matt still has something to do. He has to fight Muse in like a way that Muse has the upper hand.
Mm.
Yep. Plus, you get Mephisto, which is would be a treat, and like that would be a surprise that I think everybody would talk.
Am I hearing masterpiece, Jake? Is that what we're saying?
I'm just saying, like, what I fucking write. Like, yeah, they're like, hey, write episode 9. I'd be like, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah, this is gonna be.
That's my pitch. That's what I would do. This is what I think is going to happen. This is the boring story that I think they're going to go with. I think Bullseye does, like, he kills maybe one or two people. One of them shocks us. Heather gets shot in the head.
Mm.
Something along those lines. Matt, he is put on the sidelines, but he's safe. Bullseye escapes. And we get in a situation where Bullseye tries to kill Fisk again, and Daredevil healed within like a week or so, for whatever reason, then fights off Bullseye. Punisher is maybe makes an appearance. Maybe he's probably fighting the cops, and we get some surprise kills. We get some Vanessa, like, hey, we set it up. Maybe Vanessa gets killed too, and Fisk gets really motivated to do the vigilante task force because Bullseye kills Vanessa. I think Bullseye just kills Vanessa in the way that Elektra dies. And so you get Kingpin, who's very motivated to take down vigilantes or anyone like vigilantes, and really just ramps up the task force to go after. But yeah, I think Bullseye makes some attacks. He probably kills Vanessa or Heather. Daredevil heals up in a week or two or a month. Maybe there's a longer time skip if they're being realistic. And then like it happens again, and then Daredevil tracks down Bullseye, and that's what we get. Which I hear this episode's supposed to be really good, the next one. But like that's like the storyline I'm predicting. It's not the one I would write. The fucking Hell Mephisto storyline, gold.
You know, it's funny because we were talking about the Devil May Cry anime earlier. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go into any spoilers or whatever, but the last episode of the first season of that show kind of does that type of thing where it just takes a complete like 180, and it's just like, oh, okay, like this is what's going on. Just leaves you completely like questioning and wanting more.
Does he go to hell? I'm just trying to think, like, where did you get the correlation between the two shows?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to spoil it. I mean, there is like a hell realm. The whole story is about, like, there's a hell realm and Earth, and they've been locked from each other, and only like, some demons can get through. And then there's, like, one evil bad guy that's trying to, like, open the, like, let the two worlds collide kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the ending of it, how it ends up going down after everything, it's just very interesting and like, okay, like it sets up a whole new like idea. And I kind of want to spoil it for you, but I don't want to spoil it for you.
I am like wanting to guess, but I'm like, that's not the podcast we're doing.
Yeah. All right. Sidetrack.
But I think like that would be an interesting thing for them to do. I think like that episode, if they were going to go into like the hell realm, or the realm of hell and played with that lore, I think it would be amazing. Like, I think it would open up so much questions. Like, just showing fucking Mephisto would, like, just break the internet for at least a day.
Yep, I agree with that 100%.
Especially if you had, like, a Kang, like, you know, entrance to it.
Just do it better than Kang, though.
Well, like, yeah, long term. But, like, yeah. Kang, Loki, like, that performance, arguably the best performance in the MCU history.
Yeah.
Arguably one of the best. At least, like, for a villain. And I'm saying that over like Thanos. Like his performance in that just scene alone makes up pretty much made Loki season one a good show or a great show.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I don't know if that's gonna happen. I think like we're probably getting a Bullseye shootout. We're probably getting Bullseye just massacring a bunch of people, and Daredevil and probably Punisher and probably Wilson Fisk all have to work together to figure out how you can get up there. Matt it's probably fine. But I think if you're gonna shoot someone in the chest, like if you're gonna do it in that moment, like maybe, give him some
Yeah,
consequences.
that's what I'm
Make
saying. I got
him pay
if he just
for.
gets up and like fights or something like that, then that's gonna be so bad. Yeah.
Don't give him that plot armor.
I don't love the idea of another time jump either.
Yeah.
I want like things are heating up at the moment. Like, let's see, see something pop off finally.
Daredevil season two. Daredevil born again, again, again. This
See,
is like
maybe
the
oh.
third fucking time.
What if that's what the title has been about the whole time? Is that he comes back from hell and that's when he's actually born again. Not him putting the suit back on, but literally being born again.
I mean, I would only like it simply because it would be the better finale.
No, I think that would be a sick finale. The like, well,
Yeah.
I'm talking about like him going to hell and stuff and then coming back.
Yeah, like that
He
would be
retires
dope
from
if
being
like
born again.
the born
Yeah.
again. I still fucking hate the title for the fact that like this is, would be the third time that he's back.
Yeah. But what if it's, yeah, but what I'm saying, like he's actually back, like from the dead. Like not just retired or semi-retired and putting the suit back on.
What if the hand resurrects him, like, Elektra, and he becomes Black Sky?
That'd be disappointing.
I would actually be intrigued. Like, if they brought the hand back, I wouldn't hate it initially.
It had to do make them more interesting than they were in the Netflix show, which I'm sure there's got to be a way because they are like
Yeah.
one of the biggest villain groups from like the comics. There's got to be more interesting ways. I think just like the faceless nature of them makes them hard to identify with.
I think the hand would be a lot more interesting in this version of the show than the Netflix. Because the Netflix, you're like you go deep and dive into like the background. It's very humane, or it's very human, right? You're going into like these all these different characters, and the hand isn't a human and like antagonist. It really isn't. It's very supernatural, and it just didn't really fit with the show as well. I know that they needed like some type of entity to fight, and the hand was the most obvious. But yeah, you add in some of the supernatural like things into it. It's just like it kind of just becomes mumbo jumbo. Whereas like in this show, if you had the hand, I think it would work into their favor.
Yeah, I can see that more, especially with like how the MCU has been established more. Like, I mean, they had White Tiger in it, which was still kind of jarring. We never really got to see him use his powers at all. Like at all.
Does she come
So
back? Maybe she saves the day. And Miss Marvel. Spider-Man?
I mean, it'd be interesting if Spider-Man came, but it still wouldn't
Sexist.
be, yeah, it still wouldn't be
Sexist. Say no to.
I only
I'm
say
just
that
fucking with you. I'm
because
very
we haven't
politically
seen that.
charged this
Yeah.
episode. Sorry.
It's okay. All right.
I agree. Like if White Tiger is like hurt the female version, I'd be like, oh, okay. Miss Marvel's in it. I'm like, oh, it's cool to see her, but like, okay,
The
that's a
tone is,
choice.
yeah, the
Yeah.
tone is too different.
I mean, you put Spider-Man in it, I'm gonna be fucking excited.
Even the tone for that is also very weird. For especially where we are
Yeah.
right now.
It'd be funnier with Deadpool. I'm just saying, Tom Holland's
mean,
Spider-Man just reacting to like people just getting their hands like broken would just be hilarious. That and Miss Marvel too, because like it's so more like comedic fun, just having her watch someone like hand just get like torn apart.
Just traumatize the poor
She's like,
girl.
ah! I don't know. I want to see that. I don't know why. But yeah. All right. Well, here's hoping that Daredevil goes the Mephisto route. I never thought we would bring up Mephisto in the show review, but somehow we
We
did.
got there, and it makes sense somehow.
It does. It's like
The
the best. It's the
best
best thing I
outcome.
could come up
Yeah,
with is a Mephisto ending.
not only like the best thing we can come up with, but I think it would be just like awesome in general. Like if this was what they were talking about the whole time,
A
you know?
masterpiece?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If we get, especially if like hell is really well done, like how they decide to portray hell.
What if they, what, okay, here's the only reason, like the only way where I'd be disappointed if they did the storyline. They did the whole hell thing, they did the whole Punisher thing. But they still didn't fucking show Mephisto.
Yeah, that would be disappointing. Yeah. Especially like with the history and like the whole idea of Daredevil making a deal with the literal devil. Like, yeah, like it's too good
It's
to
too
let it
good.
to not do that.
Are we setting ourselves for
Oh,
misery?
100, 100%. We're gonna hate the finale.
Everyone's like, it's great, it's awesome. We're just gonna be like, there's no fucking Mephisto.
Yes.
It's a three. It's just
Yeah. We're hyping ourselves up even more. But maybe. I mean, there are some hints, you know, like there are some things that make it make sense with Muse, his connections to hell, the Born Again title. I mean,
Punisher.
if we're right though, if we're right, then we're like legends, right? Because we haven't heard, I guess I haven't been watching anyone's like predictions or anything for the show, but I definitely haven't heard anyone say Mephisto.
I'm curious. I have to watch like the spoiler like, reviews and see if everyone mentions Mephisto. Because like if we're the only ones and like no one guessed it prior, I'm blasting that shit everywhere. Like we fucking called it. I will say for the record, I don't think they're doing Mephisto, but it would make sense.
And they got to do them at some point. And I think just like a little introduction, just showing him like the power, you know, like his ability, and you don't have to fight him or anything like that, you know.
Literally just
Show him
Kang. Just
existing. Yeah, just show
have
him
him
existing.
talk.
Yeah, give him a moment to chew up some scenery and make a deal with Matt. And
Okay, last little bit. What deal would he make?
that's a good question. What would Mephisto ask for return is the question.
Who would he
'Cause I think we already
save?
talked about, yeah, I think
Himself, Foggy?
himself and Foggy, I assume.
What would you have to give up?
That's the question, right? I mean, maybe Heather dies because of that.
That's not much.
It hasn't been built up enough to where it matters.
I'm trying to
I
think,
think
like,
you would
what?
trade Heather for Foggy in a heartbeat already.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe not like straight up, but like if that was like, I don't know. Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, what would you give? Like, maybe your. Would he give up his super hearing?
Soul, like condemn himself to go to hell after no matter what he does, because
Yeah.
or
That's boring, though.
it could be something more vague too, like something that we don't really find out exactly what the consequences are until later.
Okay. Or like a favor later or something.
Yeah, that kind of thing, you know, like okay, but when I call on you at some point, you got to do what I ask without question.
Let's think. Let's do the Spider-Man one, right? Because like in Spider-Man, he makes a deal, and I don't remember if he ever makes a deal in the comics, Matt and Mephisto. I don't recall like that deal. But in order for, I think I got it. Oh,
Okay.
it's very, never mind. It's very Spider-Man Far From Home. He forgets Foggy. He brings him back, but like Foggy forgets him or he forgets Foggy. Because he had
No,
Spider-Man had to
no.
give up, Spider-Man had to give up his marriage to Mary Jane Watson in order to save, Aunt May. So he saves Aunt May's life, but he gives up his marriage. So if you save Foggy, what do you give up? What relationship? Because it's not going to be his relationship to Heather.
It's like the only relationship he has right now.
Does he give up his law firm?
Give up
Or
his.
maybe it's just like you're Daredevil. You're not gonna have success. I'll give you like you'll come back. I'll heal you up. You're Daredevil, but you're Daredevil. You get you like your law firm is done. Maybe there's like that. Yeah, I don't know.
It'd
I
be
don't know.
interesting. Yeah, I had to ponder that a little bit. You
I
know,
would
I wish
say.
to
I would say
have
we
hope
do it
for
next week, but it probably doesn't matter. And if it does matter, we would know. Unless they did, it's a season two mystery. What did he give up? And then.
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, then we'll be able to ponder it. I could see them doing that more so. Something, yeah, kind of vague and undefined, and we don't actually find out. Or it could even be like I watch a lot of anime, and like one of the demons and like that. And Jujutsu Kaisen makes a deal with the guy to like let him live or whatever, but he's not part of the deal is that he doesn't remember that he made the deal or any aspects of the deal. So he's back and he's alive, but he doesn't even remember that he made this deal to begin with. So he doesn't know what it is or that it even exists.
Interesting.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And then it comes back to haunt him later on.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we probably shouldn't ponder too long on this until there's confirmation that Mephisto exists. It would be dope, though. We'll see. Anything else, Mr. Meme?
I don't think so. I'm hoping for Mephisto next week.
We're setting ourselves up for disappointment. All right, guys, that is it. I am your host, Jake Sherbing. This is Meme. We are out till next week. Mephisto lives.